Hey, everybody, welcome to episode number 163 of the Debt Free Dad podcast. So it's not uncommon for me to get into some coaching calls with individuals who are struggling because of their inability to tell their children no. And we're not just talking about little kids either. We're talking about college kids and even adult kids. So how do you say no to your little kids and your adult kids and protect your finances and your financial goals? This is going to be a great episode. We're going to talk about it on today's show. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Debt-Free Dad Podcast with Brad Nelson. Brad and his co-hosts experience the anxiety of living paycheck to paycheck before learning the fundamentals of financial security. They are now on a mission to empower regular people to pay off their debt for good and enjoy happier, less stressful lives. Keep listening for inspirational interviews, tips, tricks, and practical advice to gain financial freedom.
Hey, how's everyone doing today? You can find me on Facebook, TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram. Just search Brad Nelson, Debt-Free Dad, and welcome to today's show. Remember to get all the resources, show notes, and links for today's show, or the hate mail that you're going to send us, because we're going to talk about your children. You can head over to balancesense.com/163. That's balancesense.com/163. So, guys, kind of a hot topic a little bit today, I think. And I just had a coaching call about this, and this came up. And it comes up more often than probably people think it might. And you might be in a situation where you're having a difficulty, you know, setting boundaries with your children or your adult children when it comes to your finances. And you feel like maybe you're the only one. Well, I'm here to tell you that you're not. This actually comes up quite often. And I thought it would make for a great episode just to kind of chat about this whole subject of being able to say no to your kids and how that really becomes a problem when they become older. And that's where I think it becomes even more of a problem, because then you start focusing on things like they become very dependent on you when they should be independent and doing things themselves and figuring things out for themselves. So, but first, guys, talk about this. Say no to your kids. Hard? What do you guys think?
Easy. Does it surprise you?
You're so mean.
Not even a little bit, no.
Actually, sometimes it's a little hard to say no to the granddaughter, but, you know, right now it's little stuff, so.
Okay, I want you to...
That ends up...
I want you to talk about that, because you obviously have that... You have a granddaughter, right? That's another one, you know, where I hear a lot of people who say, we just had an episode. Last week's episode was all about falling off the wagon. You know, I have had individuals say that they overspend on their grandkids and, you know, they buy them all of this stuff and ends up putting them into debt. And so that is something I see quite a bit too. So talk about that.
It doesn't bother you? Because we've put her into like extracurricular activities, and our daughter doesn't have a lot of money. So we've jumped in and we've actually started to take care of that and put her into swimming and did the different things. But we're in a position where we could do that. Now, had this been 7 years ago when we were in debt, we probably would have done it anyway, to be honest with you, and went further into debt.
I was about to say, you would have done it anyway.
I truly believe it. I know. I truly believe that we would have. But then I go back and I'm thinking, okay, so we've had instances with our daughter where when she was a teenager, or, you know, we went in to buy books, and she loves books, and she went to use her debit card because she had a debit card and a little job, and it declined. And I said, oh, what happened? And she goes, I don't know. And I said, well, I guess we're not getting those books today. And she looks at me like, aren't you going to buy them? And I'm like, no, well, let's go. We'll see what happened with your money. And then you can save and buy the books that you want later. And I feel like doing things like that now as an adult, she hardly ever calls us for anything at all. But then the granddaughter came. It's like it skips a generation. I'm not as mean.
And I don't have kids, so I'm the auntie. And it's really hard to say no to the niece and nephew. They're adorable. And I want to buy them all kinds of things. But also my sister's like, they don't need any more toys. They don't need any more clothes. They don't need any more books or puzzles or anything. Stop buying stuff.
I think, you know, for me, the parent, you know, from a parenting standpoint, I think there's things that's easy to say no to. But I know, like, especially when we were when our kids were younger, you know, we went to Disney, you know, Brad, you're my brother. We went to Disney a lot when we were younger, and we always went kind of the cheap way, right? We camped a lot. We went kind of, you know, stayed at kind of offsite hotels. And I just remember
we drove up, like, all the time, and Ryan would beat the crap out of me in the back seat all the time. Hey,
that was when no seatbelts and you could just do what you wanted. But yeah, I mean, I remember just being like, one day, you know, when I get older, I'm going to bring my kids here. I'm going to stay at the hotels. I'm going to stay at the fancy places and all that sort of stuff. And so I think a lot of times it's not that our kids were begging for it, but it's like, we want to live our childhood through our kids again. Right. And so I would 100% overextend my kids, whether it was on Christmas or all these things. And I would love to say it was all for my kids, but a lot of that was also for us, right? And I think you hear this a lot. I see this a lot with people, like, you'll never get those memories back and all that sort of, you know, like, you know, just do it. Who cares? Memories are forever. And that's true. But I will be honest with you. Those cool, awesome trips we took. I mean, if you go ask like my kids, they kind of remember some stuff, but they wouldn't have cared. They don't care. We care. We think they care. And we think we're going to provide them this amazing thing that for the rest of their lives, they're just going to be like, oh my God, it was so amazing. But what we found out is, like, especially as we went through this whole debt thing, they could care less. Like, we downsized our house pretty drastically. We have a pretty small house compared to what we have, and we just thought it was going to be the end of the world. They don't care. They did it first for a brief moment, but then it's like they get over it. And so I think it's just a lot of, you know, I think saying no to them sometimes is we have to say no to ourselves. We think we're saying no to our kids, but for me, we just learned we have to tell ourselves no. And we think the kids will be devastated, and sometimes they are, but if you just start saying no enough, then they really, it's not going to be a big deal. We think it will be.
Yeah. And when it comes to those experiences, those trips and stuff, if you asked them, they probably remember how they felt more than remembering what happened during that trip.
Yes.
So whether you stayed in a crappy hotel or stayed at a fabulous Disney one, I don't think they would ever remember.
Yeah. I think
I used to work at Disney, and it was always around 4 o'clock when they haven't had their naps and they've had a ton of sugar and they've been going all day in the Florida heat. They are throwing themselves on the ground, kicking and screaming and just like, I want to go to bed. And it's like, we did not spend all that money for you to come here and throw a tantrum.
I think Jim Gaffigan has a little bit where he's like, every time we went on vacation, I always wonder why Dad was in a bad mood. And then I took my kids to Disney and I'm like, now I know my dad was always in a bad mood.
All the shirts, the families with the matching shirts, I'll say best day ever. The dad says most expensive day ever.
Those are the best. Oh, I'm sure. So I think, I believe I don't have a problem saying no. I talked to Noah about this not too long ago. It was back in the fall, I think we talked about another podcast, but I said, Noah, do I have any problem saying no? He's like, no, you're like an expert at saying no to me, Dad. He's like, in fact, you say no more often than you say yes to anything. I just expect it's gonna be no.
It's like a bonus when it's a yes.
That was a
so
shiny
the question.
That's a shiny moment as a parent, though. I'm just like, I'm doing it right.
But does he feel like that he's missing out on anything? Does he understand the bigger picture? I've got a guess to that answer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because we use the right language with him. You know, it's not no because we're broke. It's no because that's not in the plan right now. Or it's no because we're choosing to do these things instead, which means that we also have to choose not to do these other things over here. So it's you know, again, it's all about opportunity costs and again, explaining to them that we're doing it intentionally. We're not saying no just to say no and be mean. We're saying no to this so we can say yes to these other things. Unfortunately, those things just aren't happening right now, and you got to wait.
And so, Ryan, everything you said was correct. And of course, Brad, you just took the words right out of my mouth. You're telling your kids no, but that doesn't mean you're always going to tell them no to everything.
Right.
You know, I'm fortunate that we started this journey early enough that our boys really, that's all they've ever known. I know our daughter was old enough to remember, but she sees the benefit of it now. We put our kids through college debt-free. We gave them a car when they graduated, you know, a 2 or 3 year old used car. We, you know, they've got no debt. We've taught them, you know, how to save from the very beginning. So in my mind, I've said yes to much bigger things that are going to be much more important to them, because when they were younger, I had the discipline enough to learn to say no. And so, Ryan, you're right. There's a lot of people who think that my kids are going to miss out or they're going to be devastated. I promise you, say no for a short amount of time, get your finances fixed, and you can say yes to much bigger things.
Yep. I gave my 4-year-old daughter a lesson tonight with tacos. She wanted a hard shell taco. She I made it for myself. She's like, no, I want it. So I was like, okay, you want it? And I went to go give it to her, and she's like, no, I don't want it. So then I walked away, and she got mad because she's playing her game. I ate the whole taco in front of her. She's like, no, I want it. I'm like, you said no, so no, you're not having it. And she threw a huge fit. I guarantee you, the next time, she ain't going to play that game with me. By the way, the taco was very good.
And it is Taco Tuesday. So.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It is Taco Tuesday. But I think what I will say, what I hear a lot of in these conversations I'm having with individuals is I want my kids to have a good life. You know, I want my kids to have things that I didn't. It also could be out of guilt. And I can understand this because obviously, you know, Noah's from my first marriage. So I only get him 50% of the time. So especially early on, it was hard for me as a dad to only have him 50% of the time, because it's easy to say I want to give him the extra things and the extra stuff because I only get him 50% of the time. I really had to work hard at not doing that. And I kind of made that decision from early on. It's like, I am not going to be Disneyland dad. You know, I'm not going to be where he comes over here and I'm going to spoil him rotten because of this situation. That's not going to help him at all. You know, so we've never have done that. In fact, I probably have been probably too much of the no person where he hasn't been able to do some of those things. But he's also been able to do some pretty amazing things at only being 13 years old, too. But I think some of it can come out of guilt, too. You know, is negative events that have happened in your life that have affected your kids, things like divorce, could be abusive relationships, things that they've seen that you've never wanted them to see. So there are other things that definitely play a role in some of this. It's not just, I want to spoil my kids rotten. You know, there are some emotional, deep-rooted, mental health type things that go into this too, I think.
Yeah, and I think that goes back to kind of, you know, what I was trying to relay is I think some of this just comes from us, right? And I would agree. I mean, I think that's where some of my spending was. It was like, I'm doing this for them, but a lot of it was my own. It was for me, you know, I didn't realize that. It was just like, this is for them, for the kids, you know, all for that. But it took us a while to recognize that.
Yeah. Yeah. The way I look at it though is, you know, I mean, if you're constantly getting the habit of telling your kids yes to everything, I just feel like you're setting them up for failure in a big way, because it's just not how the real world works. In fact, when you get to be an adult, and if you're listening to this and you're an adult, you know, I don't even have to tell you this, you're going to be told no a heck of a lot more than you're going to be told yes on just about everything, right? So and people say, well, they're only young for a short time, so I want to make sure I give them. Yeah, but guess what? They're going to turn 18. They're going to have to get out there on their own, and that is going to be a hard pill for them to swallow.
I mean, I have a story on this. I mean, and it just kind of. I wouldn't say shocked me, but I think it's a good example of my son graduated college debt-free, lived at home, paid for it himself. And he had a conversation. He just told me this last week or a week before. And he's like, yeah, this guy at work, he's a little younger than you, but he's got kids that are, you know, about my age, and they're getting ready to go to school. And he was asking me how I did it, how I paid for college and how I did all this. And so he kind of walked him through, like, I lived at home, probably said some things about us that I don't want to know. and then, you know, he's like, I did 2 years community college. I transferred to local university. I lived at home. I worked and I just paid for it. He's like, I that's how I did it. It wasn't anything like amazing. He's like, and then the response from this person was, yeah, but man, they're just not going to get the college experience. And it just is something that it's like, this is a perfect example of like, you're wanting this and it's like, you're hurting your kids by saying yes to everything. And it's, I don't know what your plan is. I mean, if you have the money and you've saved your whole life to send your kids to college and you have the money to pay for it, hey, go do that. But if your plan is to saddle them with a ton of debt or yourself with a ton of debt in order for them to have the college experience, it's just like, crazy to me. I mean, how are you helping them?
So that's, I'm sure they're going to have is that experience?
Yeah, I'm sure they're going to have a great time. Don't get me wrong. I mean, there are parts of me that I would have loved my son to have that experience. But at the cost of what we're seeing kids come out of with this debt is, like, I think just a good example of like how you can really set your kids up for failure and later in life by just like, well, we're just going to encourage them to do it and not have a plan to like pay for it.
I can tell you as a former teacher, most of my students, their number one thing that they wanted to get out of college was the college experience. And I don't even know what the heck that means. What is the college experience?
House party.
And that topic used to drive me nuts. Yeah.
That's
exactly
what I'm thinking. I'm like, the drinking, the partying.
Yeah. I was like, don't kids realize there's still house parties if you don't go to college?
Right?
Right. Right. Exactly. Now, you don't Brad, have to fail out of school to do that.
But yeah, yeah.
Eating ramen noodles and getting credit cards because you have a free t-shirt offer. And those are the college experience. And paying for student loans 20 years later.
You know, I lived at home my first 2 years of college and had to drive 30 minutes each direction while playing college football. Okay. And in the spring quarter, because back then we were in quarters, I stocked grocery store shelves at night. I had an experience. Probably not the same one everybody else did, but I can always say I had a college experience and I got a degree and I had a little bit of college debt, maybe a couple $1,000s, but not like they've got nowadays. So I think college is whatever you get out of, but that's a different topic for a different day.
Yeah, and I wrote it down because I think it's a good topic that we could cover. Yeah, no question. I think the nice thing when you say no, though, is that you can use those experiences as teachable moments. You know, a lot of people struggle with, you know, money and personal finance and managing money, especially as early adults, but you can help them learn a lot of that stuff at a young age by being willing to work through different scenarios with them and let them come up with how they can figure out things that they want to buy. Like, for instance, my son wanted an Xbox. This is last year. It was right after Christmas. It was early January. All of a sudden, he's like, I want an Xbox. I'm like, dude, Christmas was like 2 weeks ago. Too bad. You know, I was like, yeah, I'm not kidding. I'm king of no, right?
I was going to say, there's that no coming out.
Right. But instead, what I did is I said, no, I'm not getting it. But hey, you got some Christmas money. I also know you had money saved and put away. So what are some ways? Why don't you think of some ways to come up with a way that you can buy it? And I said, on top of that, I think you should do some research on, do you want an Xbox? Why do you want an Xbox? Making sure you're buying the right one. Do you want PlayStation? You know, or what? Like, which, why do you want to buy this, right? Especially kids at a young age. At this point, he's 12 years old. You know, those, they want that. They want it now without thinking about it, right? So I really kind of walked him through that, and it was a really good teachable moment for him, and he ended up getting the Xbox with his own money. I think I ended up covering the tax for him, so I did slide a little bit on the no. but he had come up with the rest of it. So I think, you know, by talking openly about your finances and going through these different requests that they have, and honestly, letting them experience the pain of not getting things, that's what you're going to have to live with most of your adult life, because you're not going to get everything that you want in your life. And by giving them that experience, it's going to be far less painful when they become an adult and actually get into the real world and see how the real world works by giving them that pain right now. And unfortunately, this is what I have to coach people on sometimes. They're like, they'll ask me, why am I broke? Well, because you're giving your kids too much money. They're adults. You have to stop. You have to stop. And they're like, well, they're going to be mad. I'm like, damn right they're going to be mad. Who cares, right? You have to let them experience that pain if you ever want to set healthy boundaries. You gotta let them experience that pain. They're going to have to learn how to stand on their own two feet, and that's the only way you can do it. You gotta rip the Band-Aid off, and push them out of the nest and say, good luck. You got to learn to fly, you know,
and do it earlier than later, because it's a lot harder later on in life.
So two things off of that, Brad. One is, a lot of people, I think, don't want to say no to their kids because they don't want to, they're afraid they're going to have to admit their financial struggles or their financial pain to their kids.
Sure.
And so rather than have that discussion and rather than use it as a teachable moment, saying yes is just an easy way out of it. We've talked about this, Brad, many times. I've been on the podcast, you know, years ago, and I talked about the fact that you've got to teach your kids how to manage their money, and there's no, you can't start too early. And part of that is sharing with them your failures. Part of them is sharing with them your dreams and your goals and what you're doing to improve things so that when you say no, they understand that you have somewhere that you're trying to go. And by doing that, the second thing I wanted to point out is you can still love your children and say no. It's okay. Saying yes is not showing that you love them. But if you can tell them no, you can teach them, bring them along in your journey so that later on you set them up for success. To me, that's as much love as you can give a child.
Yeah, I totally agree.
I think it's really, I think, you know, for us, and I think all of us, I mean, my kids' success in college and, you know, my daughter's on track to graduate. I mean, that's all because we were upfront about this. Like, we didn't move from the bigger house and downsize and just were like, we're just doing it. You know, they understood why Christmases were smaller. They know we were terrible with money. My kids know that we screwed up, and I think that that's okay. And I think that helped them just more than I can ever. I mean, it's probably the biggest thing that we wanted out of this was to make sure they don't make these same mistakes, or at least understand that if they do make them, and hey, you know why, or you know the rules of the game. But I mean, that's been the biggest teachable moment for my kids, I think, is just sharing it. You know, it hurt. Don't get me wrong. I mean, it was not fun to have to say, hey, we didn't do a great job, but that went a long way.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's not just money too. And I mean, I think that's a lot of things that we have to teach our kids is that, you know, sometimes, you know, kids can look at us like, we don't make mistakes. And I think you got to admit to your mistakes. I mean, there's times where I've admit to Noah, it's like, hey, dude, I kind of got in your case about that. And I probably shouldn't have. I'm sorry. You know, I made a mistake. I'm stressed. I got some stuff going on at work. And, you know, I think it's okay to open up and talk about those things. And I tell Noah all the time, you know, it's like, look, dude, I'm telling you, you're quickly wanting to grow up. I'm telling you, being an adult is not easy. I was like, be patient. Let me teach you how to do some of this stuff. Okay. It'll be easier. And, but I think, you know, going through and sharing your financial struggles, your financial challenges, and your financial success and saying, hey, look at what we've been able to do, and it's because of these things. In fact, I got on Noah's case about this today. He's like, he got in a little trouble at school, and his excuse was, well, everybody else does it. And I was like, you know that does not fly with me, right? I was like, you know that everybody else is broke, right? 80% of the country lives paycheck to paycheck. We aren't everybody else. You can choose not to be like everybody else. And, you know, it's that whole, you know, if everyone's jumping off a cliff, would you go jump off a cliff too? And so, you know, you had to get on about that too. But I think, you know, when it comes to your finances and stuff like that, you know, spoiling your kids, it's okay once in a while, but man, to always be constantly saying yes, I see it all the time. It just sets not only those kids up for disaster, but it also sets the parents up too.
So the Totally Awesome Debt Freedom Planner is helping so many people make consistent progress with their finances, whether that be building emergency funds, paying down bills, budgeting, tracking paydays, saving up for larger purchases, goal planning, and planning for those irregular yearly expenses that always seem to catch you by surprise. Now, the Debt Freedom Planner will help you take the stress out of managing your money. And if the thought is running through your mind, hey, I just need to have a simple tool to get my finances together, this planner is perfect for you. Head over to therealdebtfreedad.com, click on the Debt Freedom Planner in the menu at the top of the page, and order your Debt Freedom Planner today.
Let's talk about debt, baby. Let's talk about your money. Let's talk about all the good things, all the bad things that make me. Let's talk about debt. Let's talk about debt.
All right, that sound means it's time for the celebrations of the show. And first we have Shannon Dukes stuck to the budget for the first time ever for almost an entire month. I put $100 in the dining category this month, and we've only spent $60 more eating at home.
Awesome. Way to go, Shannon. Congratulations. Great wins. Amanda Lepic did my Roots 15 every morning while enjoying my coffee. And I paid off, check this out, guys, $2,050.10 just this month alone. And I have $400 in my emergency fund as well. Good beginning so far, she says. Congratulations. Awesome beginning, I'd say, Amanda.
So my celebration is from Mary Brighthopped Southard. I apologize if I butchered your name. You know, Brad, last week we talked about how not to fall off the bandwagon getting started. And she says, my win is just being in this program. I can't even imagine where I'd be if I hadn't joined in 2020. Feeling thankful for what I've learned, frustrated with having to slow the snowball a little bit, but I can still see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, that's impressive.
I can definitely feel that for Mary. Way to go. And Sandy Kurtz Jarrett says, my 18-year-old daughter is planning a trip to France this summer. We discussed how she was going to pay for it in cash and came up with a budget to reach her goal. Feels good to be teaching her good life and money skills, just like what we were talking about.
Yeah, I think we need to bring Sandy on the show and she could teach a whole episode about that.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Awesome win.
And Krista Real, I paid off two of my credit cards with my tax return and the rest is going into my sinking fund. Awesome job.
Awesome job, Krista. Congratulations to all of you who are working your way towards financial freedom. Job well done. If you're just getting started with our podcast, or maybe you've been listening for some time and you're interested in how you can get started on the road to financial freedom, go over and visit our website at balancesense.com and sign up for my free Life Without Payments workshop, where I'm going to show you the first steps that have helped tens of thousands of people just like you and I kick financial stress and worry for good.
Thanks for listening to the Debt-Free Dad Podcast. Connect with us on Facebook, TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram at Brad Nelson Debt-Free Dad. If you found value in today's episode, please leave a rating and review. We so appreciate it. For resources, show notes, and links mentioned in today's show, visit BalancedSense.com. That's BalancedSense, C-E-N-T-S.com. Catch you next week.